This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try and watch the rest.
Yes, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back. And this week we're talking about Netflix's The Great British Baking Show, aka The Great British Bake Off. And here we are with a man who is not British, but is still great. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm good. Is it Bake Off or Baking Show? How did you decide?
I said baking show. I do think that more people know it as baking, Bake Off.
Yeah, I thought it was always like the GBBO, you know, the Great British Bake Off. That's what I thought it was. I was looking for it. And so I came across the baking show on Netflix, so I watched that instead.
I mean, really, it comes down to what do you prefer, BO or BS?
I don't know. This is a tough one. I was going to go with BS, but, you know, BO isn't always bad.
BO isn't always bad.
I mean, you know, in some circles.
Okay. I feel BS is more harmless. Like, it's just BS. Don't worry about it. BO, I feel like, is more like, whoa, watch out. BO.
Oh, no. You mean like BS, like as a slang term. I thought you meant like, I'm from Texas, so I thought you meant like feces. Like bulls.
Yeah, I mean, but I didn't mean like the actual, like I've never dealt with like literal BS very much.
Wow, the privilege. Well, some of us, have to deal with that.
How often is it just like on the street?
I mean, this is Texas. There are horses and cows and stuff everywhere. And the people will tell you that they're not, that it's not like that. And that's an exaggeration, but that is a lie. Like, you can find any random street in Austin, Houston, or Dallas where someone is just walking down the street on a horse or with some type of cattle attached to their car. So
that might mask the BO.
It contributes to some smells, you know. Yes. I don't know. I'd probably say to be over that.
Okay. Well, we're going to be dealing only with lovely smells coming out of the ovens of the kitchens of the Great British Baking Show. And we have two great GBBO or GBBS experts here with us to talk about it all. Of course, we have Kurt Clark and Haley Strong here with us. Kurt and Haley, how are you?
I'm quite chuffed to be here today.
Yes, chuffed to bits.
Yes, yes. Made my way through all the faff to get here and podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Haley, how's your weekend going?
Good. Today is actually the start of my technical weekend as a employee in the hospitality field. So I have Sunday, Mondays off. So I have another day off tomorrow. I'm ready to rumble.
Very nice.
Ready to bake some spooky cookies tomorrow. That's on my
good
plan.
Good. You're already in the baking mindset.
I am, but I'm more of a nailed it baker than a Great British Bake Off baker.
Mm-hmm. And Kurt, how are you doing?
Doing well. Actually did a fair bit of baking yesterday. Normally not a baker, but gave it a shot.
What did you make?
I made a pear and walnut streusel coffee cake.
Whoa.
We were supposed to have a caramel sauce for it. It turned, actually, it's because we were watching the most recent episode of Bake Off. I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I did wrong. Because there is some bad caramel sauce on this.
You texted a picture to Haley.
Yes.
Wow.
It does kind of look like nachos there, but it does look like a cake in the actual photo.
Kurt, by the way, did you get tagged on any of these tweets that apparently Giles from Whodunit has been showing up on Dancing with the Stars?
Excuse me?
I did see a couple things come across my Twitter stream about that. It wasn't enough to get me to tune in.
Is his wife on Dancing with the Stars?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Who's his wife?
Let me pull the tweet. Please, if you're tweeting us right now, we're gonna get to the bottom of this, okay? All right, we're gonna get to the bottom of this. Like hold your responses. Okay? Chappelle, while I'm looking that up real quick, you know, I was thinking about, like, is there any connective tissue here today between, of course, other than being on Netflix? Last week we talked about Squid Game with Josh Wigler, which was very fun to go through. This week, Great British Baking Show. What's the through line?
They're both on Netflix.
Both on Netflix.
They're both on Netflix, and they both seem to be phenomenons in their own right. Squid Game came out of nowhere, seemingly, and just took the top spot on Netflix. But the Great British Baking Show seemingly has been around and just like killing the ratings and the fan bases for years. Like, I mean, when you talk to people about this show, that's all people want to talk. Like, they love this show. The people who watch it are all in. It might be a cult. I'm not quite sure. It's not. I have questions for Haley and Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Melora Hardin looks like.
What?
Is that.
Yep. She played Jan Hardin on The Office.
She's married to Giles. So yeah. Giles isn't like a real person. He was a character.
Dan Levinson Gould? Mm-hmm.
He was not a real person.
Giles Levinson Gould? Wow. And so he's just on
just Levinson. They got divorced.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. What is? Oh wow.
So Chappelle,
she's good. She's really good on the show.
Yeah, I think that the through line between Squid Game and Great British Baking Show is that both shows involve people who have difficulty at times cutting their baked goods out of the tin.
We saw that a couple times, and yeah, if this was anything like Squid Game, a lot of these people would have died. Unfortunately, I think my fave would have been dead. Can we talk about Maggie eventually? Like, we're going to get there, right?
Yeah. I mean, okay, so we're going to talk about, I think we were going to put like a little bit of a focus on the latest episode. So I didn't even know that Netflix does this, of having episodic releases, and so I was chuffed to bits when I found out that they're doing Great British Baking Show on the weekly. Haley, have they always done it this way on Netflix?
No, I would say they started this last season, I believe. It's actually great. It comes out about 3 days after it actually airs in the UK, so you do kind of have to avoid spoilers for that little bit. But it used to just come out in a big chunk, usually after the season has already aired. Mm-hmm. So it was always, you would run into spoilers, like no matter what, no matter how hard you tried. So this is actually a really fantastic little model they're putting out.
Yeah.
And I would love to see more shows on Netflix kind of follow that example, especially if they're coming from, across the pond, as you will.
Yeah. So we're going to, you know, focus in a little bit more on the week that just went by, but probably mostly talk about the series as a whole. Chappelle, have you had any experience with Great British Baking Show?
No. So I have a friend who loves this show. It's all she talks about. It has become her second favorite show of all time next to Gilmore Girls. So that means a lot to her. And so when she tells me to watch this show, I'm like, oh, I'll get to it one day. Because I've watched all the other cooking shows. Like, I'm like a big Top Chef guy for a while. You and I talked about Hell's Kitchen on the RTP Rewind. So I felt like, okay, we can do this again. But I was kind of surprised that this doesn't quite fit the same mold as those other shows. And now I see, like, why the people who like this show feel so strongly about it. Yeah. Because it's not like any of the other ones.
Well, let me just say, I am not a cooking show guy, but I loved Great British Baking Show.
I'm thrilled to hear that.
And I loved it.
Good. I'm so glad. Like, and it's it's one of those shows. The reason why I love it so much, it feels like a warm blanket. Mm-hmm. It has a completely different vibe than any other cooking show. There's no real competition element to it, except that somebody goes home at the other end of the episode and somebody wins. You know what they win? An engraved cake stamp. That's it. No cash prize. Nothing. They win nothing except glory.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just get a plate. It's so polite.
Yeah. And Kurt, I would love to... Sorry, I'm going to take over this podcast.
Please.
Kurt is like a fairly new watcher. Right before we started the Bake Off podcast last season, he had watched a season, and that was kind of like his first, foot in the pond. Kurt, why do you love Bake Off? And like, what drew you to loving it so much as like a fairly new fan?
It's a lot of what you said, especially because I started watching it during lockdown last year. It was precisely how you kind of spelled it out, as it was a warm hug or like a weighted blanket of binge watching. And you know, it is completely different. There's a few. It reminds me of several other British shows where you're just kind of like sitting back and letting the Britishness of it wash over you. And plus, I'm not that familiar with baking as a whole. And so I think there's also just learning things over the course of the last year. But I've only seen, I think, seasons 3 and 4 and now 11 and 12. Or 8 and 9 if you're following the Netflix numbering model. Mm-hmm. But it's just the people are just so warm and just kind to each other, which is kind of a nice change of pace for reality TV.
So I found that the show is almost identical in format to another reality show that I have watched over the last couple of years. And I don't know if there's any other shows that fit this model. Chappelle, do you know where I'm going with this?
It sounds like you're talking about Tough as Nails.
No, definitely not Tough as Nails. No, I found this to be identical in format to Lego Master. Have you ever watched Lego Master?
I'm not familiar.
Okay, so basically, Will Arnett is the host of Lego Master. Lego Master is pairs, where this is people competing individually. But basically, they say, okay, this week is blah, 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 blah. And then the pairs like go and they build their projects. And sometimes they have like really ambitious projects that they try to do. Will Arnett like makes jokes and like messes with them for like the 45 minutes while they're putting their Legos together. And then at the end, the judges come in and it's like, oh, like I like what you did there. I like what you did there. And then basically like, you know, and somebody gets the gold brick of like they did the best job. And then they get down to who did the worst job. But it's almost the same exact thing, but with Legos, as you have here on Great British Bake Off.
And the difference in dynamic between the comedic host and the serious judges is there too. And
yes. Like basically just the same thing on this show. Like do the two hosts of the show, the two presenters, do they even know anything about baking? No.
Doesn't sound like it. No.
As much as
Will Arnett knows about Legos.
Yeah, they're there to goof off and make jokes like while everybody else is doing the work. And that's like the same exact thing. And Will Arnett is very funny on Lego Master.
Yeah.
I saw a good Instagram post about the Great British Bake Off, and it said British cooking shows are like, tell us about this wee tart you've made. The crust is just lovely. And American cooking shows are, we replaced your knives with Phillips head screwdrivers and released raccoons into the kitchen. The clock is set for 30 seconds. Please bake us a piece in the Middle East. Like, you know, so that is kind of the difference you get between like the Hell's Kitchen, you know, under fire with Gordon Ramsay yelling at you, or, you know, Top Chef, where they're telling you, okay, you make all of this, but we only going to give you 3 ingredients and you got to do it well, versus this, which is so polite and so like it gives you space to actually bake. Yeah. What a concept.
Mm-hmm. And the closest that comes to having I think that's a great point, it's very gimmick free. The closest that there is to a gimmick is that second challenge, the technical challenge, where they're given very sparse direction on how, like, I can't remember, it was one of the episodes, they zoomed in on one of the sheets. It was like step 7, bake. You know, there's like no information on time or temperature. They kind of have to puzzle that together. That's the closest that there is to, I'd say, a gimmick here.
Yeah. So I'm just saying here at the top of the show that this is a show that's dropping weekly on Netflix. If you're on the fence, like, you could easily catch up and just continue on and join in for the rest of the show, because we are only 4 episodes into this thing. How many episodes do they normally have in the season?
10.
10-ish?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that too. That's a manageable workload of television.
And it's only an hour. Like, I mean, it's a little more than an hour just because the commercials are set up is a little different in the UK, but it's an hour of television worth watching. It's very peaceful. If you have kids and you're looking for something new to watch with them, I think that's a really great, and then you could even do bake-alongs. Like if they make something in the show, you can bake something after. It's just the most lovely show. And I would say that there's a little bit of a shift from when they changed over to Channel 4 from the BBC. It's gotten a little more, like the showstoppers are a little crazier than they used to be. They're a little more gimmicky, but it really hasn't lost much of its charm that you might expect it to, and it's gone through a couple judges, a couple hosts, but I think we're in a place that's just really lovely with Bake Off.
Chappelle, I don't know if we've talked too much about you in the kitchen. Are you a baker?
No, absolutely not. Like, I will do what's necessary for that assignment, and I will get away from it forever. I can cook to save my life and to eat.
Assignment? Like
if someone's like, bring a dish. I'm like, okay, gotcha. I can do that dish. I promise, because I can follow instructions really well. And so I can do that. Now, do you think I'm just like walking around the house like, oh, I just want to bake something? Like, no, I don't want to bake anything. I might throw some cookies on a cookie sheet and that's it. But like, no. But if you tell me to bring a dish, I got you. I made tiramisu one time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Nice. That was like, that's like the highlight of my life. Like, it's on my resume. Mm-hmm. Like, I made tiramisu one time. And Rob, do you bake?
Not really. I think I can follow a recipe well. Like, I'm not making a lot of desserts because I have no self-control. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people think that like, oh, Rob doesn't like food. No, I just can't control myself. So I find that it's easier not to have like the lavish desserts in the house. But I definitely like enjoy seeing them. And even though I don't like to talk about food, I'm not really interested in like a lot of recipes. I do find though that desserts do pique my interest a little bit more than seeing like some of these like main dishes, because I feel like if I don't like what they're making, I'm sort of like checked out. But I feel like that at least the dessert, I'm curious.
And even the baking I've been doing over the past couple months, it's actually been there's probably no surprises, a meal kit that has desserts you can add in addition to like main dishes. So again, I'm not doing any of the shopping. I'm following the recipes. I'm good at just like, I think you're, I'm good at following instructions and directions and just give me what I need and I'll put it together.
So Haley, we're in season 9 here for GBBS. Is this considered to be a good season? Is there any sort of like buzz as to whether or not this is being received well?
Honestly, I'm not sure because it airs a little later in the week in North America. I don't read a whole lot of articles about it. I try not to follow them on Instagram until afterwards because I have gotten spoiled in the past. But from what I've seen, it's a really nice season. I'm really loving the cast. I would say there's a couple really great standouts. I would say even that the editing is pretty even across the board. Not that I find that there's often a winner's edit when it comes to Bake Off. But I'm just having a great time watching this season.
Yeah. Kurt, is this the first season they've done post COVID?
Technically, yes. I know that the last season was during COVID and there was like lockdown precautions and social distancing in terms of like typically, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Haley, during all the previous seasons, they would basically go to this estate for the weekend and do their baking there. And then they would go home and they have a chance to practice. They know what the bakes are for each of the upcoming episodes. So they have like a week to practice. Here, now, last season and this season, still they are isolated at the estate for the entirety of this. So they're not going home between episodes. So this is a little bit more similar to what it was like last season, where they're there the entire time.
Yeah, it used to be like a 10-week filming schedule, where like literally they would film on Saturday
10
and
weeks.
Sunday. Yeah, this Saturday and Sunday, the cast would come in on Friday.
It's like three Survivor seasons.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now they've condensed, and I think it might be like 5 weeks, and they do like 2 days of filming, a day off or maybe a day or two off for practice. Like they can still practice their bakes in between, and then back on.
Wow.
No, why are they in tents? Like, you would think that, you know, they have, they're making like desserts. They wouldn't want to be outside in the heat where it's tough to get this stuff.
I think it's a COVID thing.
You would think, the tent is like a character in itself.
It always has the tents? The tent's not for COVID?
No.
No, the tent's always been there.
Yeah, and there's been some interesting dynamics because of the heat. They film in summer. I think any Bake Off fan will remember
1980s week
Alaska. You guys need to just watch that episode. Even I can't remember what series it was in. Maybe four.
Well, last season there was 1980s week where there was an ice cream cake as one of the challenges, and like I think like 80% of them had soup by the end of it. Like, it was just a unbearably hot summer, and because I think what they typically would pre-COVID they would have filmed like in the spring or something where it was a little bit more temperate.
I think so. But things are still like locked down on the filming side until summer last year. But I'm not really sure
what is the creative choice to have them in a tent. Who cooks in a tent?
I don't know.
My guess is that just there's no kitchen at this estate for like 12 people, and they keep moving.
They don't got no other estates available. Like, there's just I'm not bashing
the show.
In the UK, I just want to know. In the UK, there's not a lot of like air conditioning, so I wonder if it's actually like cooler them to be in the tent. They can control the heat, get out of the tent. More. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I definitely thought it was a COVID thing. I saw it and was like, they put them outside. Yeah, and then when they start complaining about the heat, I'm like, well, you know, it's a different time. That happens. But now that you tell me it's always in the town.
It's always like that.
I would be dreading dessert week. Is dessert week always, like, is that when it gets tense? Is that when we know, like, who's going to cut it later on?
They have the tent every season, Chappelle.
Yeah, but dessert week would be, like, where I would feel most threatened. Like, I don't think the tent's going to affect my cooking of bread. But if I'm trying to get, like, these dishes that they did this time, I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that heat doesn't help.
Well, last week was bread week, and they seem to always kind of fear bread week because one of the judges, Paul Hollywood, is like, I guess, known for his bread and like is a particularly harsh judge of bread. So yeah. I don't know, Haley, if you agree with that, but it seems like I saw more dread about bread week. Like, I was kind of, you know, I jokingly said to Rob, like, this week is dessert week, but week one was cake week. Let's not get those two confused. Mm-hmm. So
and week two was biscuit week, but not biscuits like you think. Cookies. It was cookie week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I would love to hear Rob and Chappelle's opinion on our judges, Paul Hollywood and Prue Leith.
Yeah. Why did they call her? See, I have so many questions. All my notes are just questions. Great. Why did they call her Pruella DeVille? Is she evil?
No, she's an angel. Yeah, she's great.
She seems so nice. That's such a mean thing to call her, but she seemed lovely. From what I understand, Paul is like, you know, so important that you got to get a high five or a handshake from Paul. Is that the thing?
Hollywood like, handshake.
Man, he got that handshake in this episode. Yeah, Rob, that's a big thing. You didn't see how he reacted?
No, I mean, I saw. Has it ever happened before?
Yeah, Rob. But like, it's special. Like, you did a great job if you're getting a Hollywood handshake.
He acted like Jeff Probst kissed him on the lips. Like, he was like, oh, this is the best day ever. I was like,
Although, I guess, could you imagine, Chappelle, like, you were on Survivor and you did, like, such a good job in the challenge. Like, Jeff's like, I got to shake your hand. That was incredible.
Yeah, that would be a big deal. We were talking about that moment.
Like, wow.
Yeah, like, he had to come from around the podium and shake your hand at Tribal Council because you did such a good job. I mean, that sounds like a good idea. And also, like, calling it a Hollywood handshake, that's good branding. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, why is he Paul Hollywood?
His name,
let me I have read his Wikipedia page before.
And from California?
No, he was
that's his name. Paul John Hollywood.
Yeah, it's Paul Hollywood. I know you heard me say that. It's his mom named him that. Yeah. Pollywood. We don't like that? Pollywood.
That's what a great Pollywood. Last name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pollywood Handshake.
Yeah.
It should be the name of his spinoff show if he ever gets one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like both of them. I feel like that it's a little bit like Good Cop, Bad Cop, where Prue is a little bit more of the good cop.
She likes her booze in her cooking. I think Paul's been the only like common thread throughout because like you know, used to be Mary Berry and you know Prue came in and Noel and Matt. There was originally Sue and Mel. And there was another one in there that I never haven't even seen yet.
Sandy, anyway. Yeah. Sandy, I've not seen. Yeah, so I would say it might be blasphemous, but I actually enjoy Prue more than I like Mary Berry. I just find Prue very warm and engaging. But I loved Mel and Sue. And then we had Sandy and Noel. Sandy left a couple seasons ago. I really love Sandy. I've loved Noel for a long time. I was so excited that he was going to be one of the hosts of the show. But Matt is still growing on me.
Okay. One last thing about Prue Chappelle that I really like. She is Prue, and I feel like that if you told me describe a person named Prue, I think it would be Prue.
This is exactly her. Yeah, it's like Prue from here and Prue from Charmed, and then you just have to pick your poison. But this Prue, I like this Prue a lot. It was fun watching her critique because I was thinking, oh, she's going to be really hard on them this time. But nope, she was just very pleasant and she told them the food is good. And, you know, they have a really good way of like giving you constructive criticism where it doesn't sound like they're like completely ruining your dreams. Whereas like I've seen Gordon Ramsay make people cry. So this was definitely like a change of pace for me.
Yeah, if like the texture is really off, they usually are able to find something nice to say about the flavors being spot on, or like it just looks a hot mess. They'll be what, but you know what? The consistency is actually good. It just looks horrible. Yeah. So they can usually find something nice to say. And
it's a bit stodgy. I learned that word. Yes, I was like, oh, stodgy. Okay, put that in my little Rolodex. Yes. I'm gonna use that one later.
Haley, you were talking about the presenters, the people that are there to sort of like tell us about the challenges and just to keep the show moving, crack a few jokes. Noel and Matt.
What did you think?
I was a little confused at first because I didn't know necessarily like what their role was. I didn't know the difference between the presenters and the judges, but you know, I came to really enjoy their commentary.
I have loved Noel for a very long time. He is he's a big wig in the British panel show kind of area. He's been around a long time, as has Matt Lucas. For me, Noel was a huge get. I really love him. I think he's great. He's really warm with the contestants. I love the way he interacts with them. He's very friendly and great. It's weird seeing him in this context because so much of what I have known about him is like, he's a goth and he goes goth and he does gothy things and he's like super artistic. Just so to see him in this like bright light environment is really funny, but I think he does it really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably agree with you there, Haley, because I know there's moments where they seem like they're really intense and they're cooking, and then Professor Snape just pops up and just starts cracking jokes. So I'm like, I love this guy. Like it does catch me off guard. I'm thinking that would scare the crap out of me. Matt too. Matt is scary as well. Yeah. Matt just like pops up next to you and be like, okay, what you doing? You're like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And so you know, I like that. I like both of them. Are they there? And you said they're not constant. They've been different people in these roles.
Yeah. So for the first, I think 8 seasons, we had Mel and Sue who are a long-term comedy duo, and they are just fantastic. I think they really embodied what the vibe of the show is. And then once it moved over to Channel 4 from BBC, they were not kept on. They were replaced with Noel Fielding and Sandy Sovig, who is a host of a show called QI in the UK, which is really great. She's so smart. She's wonderful. She left before last season, which I was crushed about because I really loved the dynamic between Noel and Sandy. I would say Matt came in last season. I didn't love his hosting style. I would say he's improved this season, but he's still not my favorite.
Yeah. And I think even like there were even like little things. I think last season, you know, they're trying a lot. The hosts and the judges are trying a lot of carbs and pastries and desserts over the course of any given like stretch of the show. And I think he like ran into a problem last year where he was like having a little bit too much of everything and got like sick on set.
Oh my god!
So he's like learning. He feels a little bit more subdued. I think
pace yourself.
Exactly. He was not pacing himself.
No, the first episode of last season, he got very sick because he tried too much of everything.
Yeah. And I think that's the nice thing about the collection on Netflix is that the Great British Baking Show collection 1 through 9 is basically seasons 4 through 12 of the Baking Show. Mm-hmm. So if you start with the first one,
it's
there,
like Australian Survivor.
Exactly. Yeah. And yep. if you start there, you'll get the Mel and Sue of it all for the first several. You'll get the transition to Sandy and Noel. And then the last two, you'll have Noel and Nolan Matt.
So. Chappelle, I wasn't expecting there to be so much sketch comedy in the Great British Baking Show.
Oof. Yeah, they had skits. It was pretty interesting. I wasn't ready for the bit about the mouth being the butt, and then I wrote the joke, but you wrote the joke. You said a joke, but I don't like how you presented the joke.
Yeah.
Rob, what was it? So like, I have my butt ready to eat stuff. What was the joke?
I think that Noel said that I was born without a mouth, I think he was saying very sadly, and he's saying that I guess the question was like, well, what are you talking about? Like, well, this is actually my butt, and
Matt didn't love that, even though Matt wrote the joke, but he didn't love the, I guess he didn't love the delivery. You know, that could happen. Like maybe Noel like blew the punchline.
But I know you didn't watch the very first episode of this season, Chappelle.
Oh, I did. Rob. Actually. Okay, let me, because I have this queued up. So I turned this show on. Okay. Season 9, episode 1.
Just do a little
one.
Research, you know,
I turned the show on and I get this.
Your fun, make brownies by the ton. You can fill your donuts up with jam. You can ice your bun, and then when you are done, you can load your quiche with cheese and ham. You can do a shoot, and then whip up a roux. You can sit and watch that muffin rise, then produce a few nice cookies you can chew. You can make a cream puff and some pies. Don't bake my tart, my flaky pastry tart. I just don't think you understand. You'll overbake my tart, that will break my heart. Then you'll never get to shake my hand.
So somebody thought, like, is this the theme song to the show? Is this like the don't prepare? Because I've never seen these people before. I don't realize this is Paul Hollywood in Billy Ray Cyrus costume. And then the show's going on, and I'm like, wait, was this like the wand off of the Great British Bake Off?
They made a 75-year-old woman dress up as Billy Ray Cyrus and pretend to play a guitar.
I have no words. This is the first time I'm hearing about this. I didn't know.
Don't bake my tart. Yeah.
It's a hit.
Oh, yeah.
And we're 1 week till the wand off is back, so it's perfect.
I'm stunned. I had no clue that existed, and I'm looking at pictures now, and I see horrible wigs to go along with that song.
Yep.
Billy Ray Cyrus is rolling in his
Haley, Noel kept winking right at the camera.
Is that a Billy Ray Cyrus thing?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. You have to make it your own.
Listen, sometimes
you have to own it.
I was fine with it. I love Noel very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. What a way to start off season 9.
Oof. Yeah. Okay. I thought the butt mouth joke was interesting, but this is different. I'll take this.
Yeah, this
over
is a whole other
mouth.
Level. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Last year we had Matt Lucas dress up as Boris Johnson for the very
you know
opening
what? My episode ended and I got that. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's like Saturday Night Live around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob is like binging the Great British Bake Off on the low.
Rob's going to text me in like 3 weeks from now and be like, Haley, I have done nothing but watch Bake Off. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to quit my job talking about Survivor because I don't have time to watch
it
anymore.
We're going all in on the Bake Off.
Yeah. I'm only watching Bake Off.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this week's show, where we're on to episode 4. And I guess what I'd like to do is maybe talk a little bit about some of the characters on season 9 of the show. Chappelle, do you have any standouts for you in the cast of GBBO/S season 9?
Yeah. My standout is who went home this week. I love Maggie. What the hell? I wouldn't have watched this show if I had known. I don't know how this show did it, because like Haley said, the editing is pretty even. But I was like, that's it. That's the person I'm rooting for. It's Maggie. That's who I want to win the whole thing. I hope all good things happen to Maggie. And this was just a slow dessert week train wreck for Maggie. It was bad. It was so bad. She was my standout. I don't know if they have an all-star, but bring her back. I love this woman. I just cannot believe she failed so miserably on this episode. And it was horrible. Thank you, Rob, for bringing that up and opening that wound. It was.
Kind of the slow motion train. I think after that technical challenge.
It's been a 3-week train wreck.
It kind of. When you messaged and said that you were like, watch the first three and you're on to 4, I was like, well, I better watch the first three again today. And I was like, knowing that Maggie went home in episode 4, I was like, yeah, you're right, Haley. It kind of was just a slow decline. And she wasn't actually doing anything standout for the signature. It was like a lot of, I'm going to do this the traditional way.
Yeah.
And then she did it the traditional way.
I think Paul asked her every single week, like, what have you done with the last 4.5 hours? Which I've never really heard the judges ask contestants before, but she's gotten a lot of, so what have you been doing, babes?
Maybe that's why I was latching on to her, because like I said, the criticism is so nice that it felt like he was dragging her at every moment. Not to say that she didn't, but he's like, it was the nicest, like, nastiest comments, like, did you forget the flour? This is a baking competition.
I have never laughed so hard.
I was like, how dare you? I was also laughing, but he comes and out and circles the word flour on the recipe. Is like, just in case you missed that, this is a baking competition. You're probably going to need to do that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how dare, Maggie, please. I just wanted her to pull it out. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. She did forget the flour, y'all, though.
That looks so, I like to say it looked like caramelized onion.
That is not what I thought it looked like.
But great. And I thought that Maggie was somebody who I thought, like, oh, she's got like upside to win, because I'm sure that she looks like she knows how to bake anything.
Yeah, like if she could just get this, like, it's like dessert week might be her weakness, but now I'm figuring out that every week was her weakness.
And
I was hurt. I really thought, like, okay, if we could just squeeze past this one, this is the winner edit that we need, right? She was down and now she's like gonna rise to the top and win. No, she's gone. Sad face.
No, the olds never really do well.
No amount of proofing was gonna let her rise to the top.
Yeah.
So you said the older contestants don't regularly do well.
Not really.
I feel like they invented baking.
But here's the thing. The olds have cornered the market in like perfecting favorite recipes. Whereas with Bake Off, a lot of the times you're doing things that you don't normally do. And you practice, but they want more than your regular thing. And I find the youngs can usually get that Instagram aesthetic, maybe. Yeah.
In the first or second episode, like for the technical they had to make was a malt cake or something.
Yeah.
And they said, like, if you're under 35, you may never have even heard of this.
Of course
and,
I know what this is.
Yeah.
And
she got first place in the technical.
Yeah, because I feel like sometimes they throw in like old timey things that people don't eat this anymore, but this is something that used to be popular.
Mm-hmm. What was the thing last year, Haley, where they had, there was like an orange in like some like lard or
something?
It was
nuts. There was a suet pudding, I feel like.
That's
at one
what it
point,
was, the suet pudding.
It was Sussex
pond puddings.
Oh my God. Yes.
I have her old spreadsheet up.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Maggie was my standout, even though she went home.
Yeah.
I did like a few others.
Well, hold on, Chanel, that with Maggie, did you feel like at all maybe that she was sort of like a single white female with Prue? That do you feel like that she was like basically
like only one could make it?
Yeah. Yeah. She was like coming for her spot.
Yeah, only one can survive while the it was one of those things where Prue was like, no, Maggie, this is your week. You're out of here. All right. You've lasted too long. But you could tell Maggie wasn't going to do well on any of the challenges because the moment they announced it, she goes, "Whoop, don't know what that is." Like, never done that before. I was like, oh gosh. It felt like such an underdog like to root for. So that's why I was rooting for her. And I'm still not okay.
The moment that the dam broke in her final bake, like, it's like, okay, she can still save herself if she does well in the last, in the showstopper. And then the moment, like, the cake parted and, like, the ooze just came
the
pouring.
Red Sea.
The Red Sea. Pouring. Yeah. It was like, oh, there's no way. There's no way she doesn't go home. This was probably one of the most clearly telegraphed eliminations in a while.
Yeah, they tried to make us think Freya was going home, but I think they really like Freya's vibe. I think they want to make fun of her for being vegan for a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Freya.
Freya seems to have an uphill battle here, Rob. Yeah, what do you think?
Freya is a young woman. I think she's only 19, and she is a vegan. And so she is, like, I think where she can is trying to make all the recipes vegan. But I think that she's really, like, handicapping herself in the competition because so many times that what she has to do is, like, you know, twice as hard to try to use the vegan ingredients. And so I feel like that they can't wait to get rid of her, but you know, like, I think that Paul Hollywood especially, I think he can't wait to get rid of Freya.
They once did a vegan week and you can tell Paul just hated it the entire time.
I feel like that's why the challenges are getting more and more ridiculous, like to where they're like stacking these things and because they're like, oh yeah, try to make this stick with your fake vegan egg whites, and she's like, I'm trying, you know, and like I made this a square because it's less bendy, and they're like, oh dang it, she got away with this again. she can't keep getting away with this.
Freya and her aquafaba.
Her life.
When they do the technical challenge, she has to do what they say, right? It's not, she can't make those vegan.
Yeah, she can't swap in. They have the ingredients there. They have the recipe there. They're all given the same basic like format. So she has to. And I guess that's up to, like, you know, one of the rules of thumb in like cooking and baking is to some extent tasting as you go. I don't know if she's doing that with the non-vegan bakes.
Oh, interesting. Well,
maybe there's so much raw stuff within baking. Maybe that's more of a cooking thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I will often taste my cookie dough before it goes into the oven, but I think that's just because it's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That was a highlight of the cake this weekend, was like the bowl, like just the spatula.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
Okay. And you, look, don't try this at home, but you're not worried about the salmonella, right?
Am I worried about the salmonella?
Is that a myth?
Yeah. Is my husband worried I'm going to die because of it? Yes.
Yes.
But that would be a very Haley Strong way to die, is I died because I got salmonella from eating cookie dough.
She died as she lived.
Going out strong. That's what they call it.
Yes. Yeah.
What a thrill that would be for me. I'm not trying to will that into existence. I do not wish to die yet. Just let's chill, universe. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Kurt mentioned the recipes, and I did think that was very different too than what we normally see on cooking shows, because they rarely show you like someone actually reading off a recipe. These cooking shows normally like make it seem like these chefs just walk in with this just wealth of knowledge and could cook anything and make anything at the drop of a hat, regardless of the crazy tasks that they have to jump through. And I liked being able to see like, no, they're actually following a recipe and they're not just magicians.
And that's baking. Very much the case in all of the challenges. They can bring... they can bring recipes, they can bring like engineering structures, they can bring like ingredients that they want. They can bring pretty well anything within, you know, the confines of the competition. Mm-hmm. Like obviously they can't bring in a pre-baked cake and call it a day,
Get to plan, like, so for the first and third challenges, they do get to plan ahead of time. So it's never that when they're told they have to make a brandy snap, you know, they're not surprised by that. They know that that's going to, you know, be their challenge. But it's that technical one in the middle where they're like, all it says is make meringue. I have to figure that out if I don't know how to do it.
Italian. Yeah. But I find that I'd say the technical challenge is weighted the least when it comes to the end as well. I would say probably they're doing like 60% focus on the showstopper, 15 on the technical, and then whatever the rest of that number is on the beginning one.
Kirk, do you have a standout member of the cast?
Oh yeah, it has to be Jürgen.
Jürgen.
I love the Terminator. I love his soft-spoken approach to the bakes in the. I'm going to do a Thomas More's Utopia book into a cake, and I'm an engineer. No, I love Jürgen. And next week is German week.
Well, in fairness, I mean, last episode was like really like Giuseppe's week. So give Jürgen a week. But Jürgen's had an interesting arc over the season because it was like he came out hot, like and was the star baker the first week, but then he like bombed last week, and then this was like the week that Jürgen was back. Yeah.
Damn bread week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm really enjoying though the kind of the left brain scientific bakers who kind of try to apply their craft to the art of baking and like really melding that art and science. So there's something about scientists. That I just kind of really I really enjoy that. And he's just been a delight to listen to. Also, just like I don't know, I'm just really enjoying Jürgen. He's who I'm rooting for.
Okay. Haley, do you have a one favorite in this cast?
My favorite is Lizzie. She is nuts. I understand about 55% of what she says. She doesn't give an S what the judges say. Or like I feel like a lot of people can be nervous talking to Paul Hollywood, where she's just like, F this dude. And I don't even know if she likes baking. Like every week, it's just, she's like, I hate this. I don't want to do that. Oh yeah, I would have practiced, but I started watching Harry Potter instead. Like, I love her. She's insane.
Do you think she was inspired by Snape?
Maybe. Good call. Yes. Probably.
I say like last week she was giving Noel side eye for him enjoying breadsticks. She's like, who enjoys breadsticks? And then there was like a whole story about how she had a pet pig that broke its leg on the ice.
Yeah.
And like they had to put it down or something. Like, and she's scared of ostriches. I don't know. She is nuts, but in the most positive,
I love her. Awesome
way.
I love her so much. See,
I was about to jump on the Lizzie bandwagon until you said she was looking at him crazy for enjoying breadsticks. I enjoy breadsticks. Sorry, Lizzie.
I love carbon stick for me.
Right. Yes, please. But I did like the journey she took us on in this episode where she's like, oh, yeah, my pavlova. Yeah, it's going to be Easter inspired, you know, like because Easter makes you think of lambs. So it makes you think of rosemary, right? Right? Mm-hmm. I was like, sure.
I'm glad they asked if it was going to taste like lamb, because that was also what was going through my head.
It was the next question. Yeah.
I was like, that's a logical question.
Yeah. Such a journey.
I'm surprised nobody has mentioned my favorite from the season, and that is Giuseppe.
He's great. He's a lot of fun. He just doesn't have that insane charm that Lizzie has that I really gravitate towards.
Yes.
I feel like he's a safe pick. Like, oh, Giuseppe, he seems pretty like well-rounded and nice and likable. Like, yeah, I feel like you're not doing anything special over there picking Giuseppe to win this off.
I was surprised he hasn't come up yet. I feel like he's like been like one of the stars of the season.
You know, I just think it's a little too safe for me. Like I was Team Maggie, and look what happened to me. But I stepped out on that ledge.
Mm-hmm. So now, who's going to be your next fave?
Okay, so I can't say Amanda because when it looked like it was
she's
be
going
Maggie,
home next,
right? When it looked like it was going to be Maggie, I was like, well, maybe it'll be Amanda and save me one more week. But yeah, everyone y'all mentioned are great. Well, we're not going to like Chigs. We don't like Chigs.
Superstar Baker.
We love Chigs.
What about George? Like, I feel like George has just showed up and he's like not really sure how he got here.
Mm-hmm. George is doing the things. I appreciated all of them. And no disrespect to Christelle as well. Like, I liked a lot of them. But yeah, Maggie was my girl. I might pivot to Chigs and George next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would pivot to Chigs being my next boyfriend. For Holy smokes.
Okay. Because it really did seem like that this was almost like, I guess, Tough as Nails was brought up earlier, but, where the Danny and Murph of it seemed like that this is going to be a battle between Giuseppe and Jürgen. Chigs, at least, came in and maybe changed the equation a little bit.
Bake Off, for ribs. $1, name a woman for Star Baker.
Ooh.
Come on. Let's see.
Does that not happen often?
Not this season for some reason. No, there was one season where one girl won Star Baker. I'd say 6 times or something crazy that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not women haters. Well, just saying.
Is there a big gender disparity between how often men and women win a Great British Baking Show?
No, I would say it's pretty even.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this just isn't a great season for the women based on the ones we just talked about, right? Because we know Amanda's probably going next, sadly.
Amanda, we've had a great time.
And Maggie was
Freya is not long for this world. Yeah,
I don't think Freya's long for this world.
I think her to lose so bad.
I think Christelle has a chance. I think I love Lizzie, but I don't know if she has the not creative skill, but just the actual artistic ability to keep on keeping on.
Yeah,
it's like. Yeah, it's like she lacks that British polish that you're looking for.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the show just kills casting every single year. Name one person you hate on this season. You cannot.
Nope.
Nobody's hateable.
No.
Nope. Not at all. Mm-hmm. I was rooting for every single person until the end when I was rooting against Amanda because I really needed Maggie to stay. I was not okay.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for.
They don't cast villains, which is very different from pretty well every other reality show. And it just adds to its just loveliness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting for German week next week where the challenge is that they have to incorporate bratwurst into their dish. And Freya's like, oh.
I just grabbed some beyond sausage. I love the way Freya speaks. It's insane, too.
Some soy wurst.
And if this was any other cooking reality show, this definitely would have been the week we lost Jürgen. Because next week is German week, right? And so in every other reality show, the person who would have excelled, they go home right before their week. Like, oh well, this is when you want to do it. Okay, fine. So yeah, definitely would have saw.
One thing in the Freya column is last year there was a baker who went quite far who was doing a lot of gluten free bakes because his brother could not eat gluten, and so I think I kind of see there being some shared DNA in that approach of cooking between trying to do gluten free or doing vegan. I know they're different worlds, but they're still the kind of idea of limiting yourself into what you can what you choose to put into a bake. So I think that'll be. So I'm not counting Freya all the way out yet.
Okay,
I am. I'm absolutely counting Freya.
Same.
Let's talk about some of the tasks that we saw this week. And they opened up this week's show with having to make pavlova. Chappelle, have you ever heard of pavlova before?
No. What? I was they made this up. They made this up. This is something that they made up for this show. It definitely does not exist. And apparently it does. And it's a big deal. And it's hard to make because we've seen some people. I mean, everybody did okay on this challenge. Nobody struggled like they did in the next one. But, this kind of came out of left field for me. I had never heard of this.
It's huge in Australia and New Zealand. I think that's where it originated.
I've been so long since I've been there, so maybe that's why I missed it.
Kurt, could you define what pavlova is?
It's kind of if you're familiar with meringue, it's kind of it may look like a little bit like a cake or a cream puff, but there's no actual cakiness to it. It's almost like the bulk of it is meringue. So it's kind of got that sort of,
but it's a cooked meringue so that it's more or less dried out. So it has way more of a snap to it than on the top of a lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. They're delicious.
Loaded with fruit often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was worried about Christelle in this challenge because she made a key lime, and apparently that's Paul Hollywood's his big thing. He loves key lime pie. I was oh my gosh, she's going to mess up. But it seemed like she did it good.
Well,
I also
felt bad for Christelle because Chappelle, she went to go make this recipe that she has an aunt that has this amazing recipe, and the aunt won't tell her what it is.
Yeah. She's like, I, like, it.
It's like, no, it's going to the grave with me.
She called her aunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it felt like she called her aunt and was like, hey, auntie, I'm going on this show and I need to make a pavlova. Can you give me that famous recipe that we always talk about? Her aunt was like, no. Are you kidding me? Not for Netflix. Are you kidding me? And so, yeah, she had to wing it on her own. Pamlova is what they called it.
Yeah. Yeah. That made me laugh.
After Aunt Pam, yeah. Yep.
And she still named it after the aunt that wouldn't give her the recipe.
Right, like to Spider. Like, look, Aunt Pam, I did it without you.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, she'd be like, Aunt Pam sucks, Lova. We hate Aunt Pam Lova.
They did get very clever with the naming of these dishes as well. You know, like the Pam Lova was pretty cool. What did they have? Like the
heart shaped one that Amanda tried doing that was chocolate Pavlova.
Pavlova. Yeah, the Pavlova lover. Yeah. There was a couple of them in there. It was interesting, but they had to do this outside in the heat. Again, I don't still think this was the perfect place to be doing a meringue. I don't know much about baking, but you can tell me that baking it outside is optimal for a competition show, probably.
I feel at least once on every episode of this show, there's some reference to something has to cool down or else it's going to melt everywhere when you try to put component A with component B, whether it's like the buttercream and the cake or the, you know, the pavlova and the... like, you have to let everything cool down so it doesn't just all melt when you throw it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Half of the second challenge was literally like, let it rest. Or was that the third challenge? It was like, okay, for the next 30 minutes, it just needs to be sitting in there. I hope you got it sitting in there. I was like, well, dang, that's less baking and more just waiting.
Mm-hmm. Haley, have you ever seen them open up the bottom part of their fridge or just the freezer?
I feel like just the freezer. The freezer is the real star. They really should make it a bigger freezer.
Yeah, that at least it's a common go-to is I need this to cool down. I'm going to throw it in the freezer. But I don't think I've ever once seen them actually open up the fridge.
Wait. George snatched his pavlova out and just threw it in a drawer. What was that about?
That's the proving drawer. So it is like it's a temperature controlled drawer. So it will still keep warm. So you use that if you're making anything with yeast or bread, you need something to rise. Because it's warmer, it will help the yeast grow and rise. So he was using that as like a in-between step because it was still going to be a little warm for his pavlova, but it's not going to be like cooking it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was worried about him at this point. I think this is where
Me too.
Maybe George is on the way out because he just threw his dish into that random drawer and that was it. I was like, oh,
yeah. George has had some duds this season.
Yeah. Whenever Paul or Prue says, like, do you think that's a good idea? It's usually not a good idea and they should listen to that.
There are a couple times where he's started over, like based on him not getting a lot of feedback. That's another common element of the show is somebody asking Paul Hollywood a question and Paul just kind of staring. And they're like, you're not going to give me an answer, are you? And then they'll start over with something. I think we saw in a previous episode, I can't remember if it was Paul's focaccia bread or George's focaccia bread, where he did a second batch of it because it just there wasn't enough moisture in it or something.
Yeah, and they said it was a good idea that he did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because they always know the answer and they'll never tell them, which I mean, that's the competition, but it's just they're always like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I should have caught on that Maggie was going home because Paul did that to her. Paul gave her like the menacing stare when he found out about her damn raspberry syrup and her summer fruits. Yeah. He was like,
Well, she was like, I'm going back to basics with my pavlova. I'm going to just do just basic pavlova.
Because
I think the idea with the signature is you put your own twist on it, your own spin on it. Yeah, and she wasn't putting a spin on anything.
My spin is basic.
Yeah, my spin is no spin. Have you heard of that?
My spin is pavlova classic.
Back to the basics.
Basics.
He did not. He was not feeling it. And
drop
I'll
the
my
four.
Notes.
Keep the one. It's pavlova.
No.
It's a new era.
I was just uncomfortable because I was rooting for Maggie from the moment she started talking. So I was like, wait, well, Paul, give her something to go on. Like she's got a plan here, and it was nothing. That was the kiss of death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it came to the judging, they really like Jürgen. He's back.
He's found his groove again.
He's found his, he got his groove back. And George's looked awful, but at least tasted okay.
Yeah.
Was that their way of just saying that it's hideous? Because we know that they don't really just say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what I like about the bake-off is like sometimes it's like both things. It's like sometimes you could have a thing that looks good, but tastes bad. And you have a thing that looks bad but tastes good. So I feel like that's like, you know, I like, which one do they give more attention to?
They give more attention to flavor and bake. They want it to look good. But if you're up against somebody whose cake was gorgeous but tasted terrible, or
would
like wasn't baked well,
have your cake look good but taste bad, or your cake looks bad but tastes good?
Do you like the relationship you currently have with cake?
Yes.
Yeah.
I recommend going back to whether it's Collection 8, Season 11, last year's, the very first episode, the Showstopper. I believe that was the one where they had to do cake busts of individuals.
It was a nightmare. It was nightmare fuel.
It was both in terms of like how they looked as well as how some of them just turned out in terms. But yeah, like that was another example of like things not looking so great, but potentially tasting really good.
Mm-hmm. Were these busts of famous people or just?
Yeah. Why don't you talk amongst yourselves and see if I can find a link?
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I was thinking when you said bust, I was thinking, okay, they probably had to pick like maybe like notable people. But then I remembered on this episode, they were just bringing inspiration from their aunt and their you know, random songs and all kinds of stuff.
There was a Charles Darwin bust.
Oh.
There was a Marie Antoinette bust. There was a Bob Marley bust, a Freddie Mercury bust.
Wow. It's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I put the link in the chat for you to view.
I would like to see it.
Let me see. All right.
The, okay. The Charles Darwin was flavored of ginger, so it was Aura Ginger of the Species by Charles Darwin was the name of that one. But so
I'm like laughing again, looking at them. I can't wait for you to see Lupita Nyong'o. Okay.
I'm looking at it now, and that might be a hate crime. What? I'm not sure. That's not racially motivated. I won't speak on it, but I think we could ask the question. Okay, but so they were given a picture, or did they bring their own photo?
So this is just too funny. Like Phil Bryson. I don't even know who Phil Bryson is, but
I mean, because Bob Marley being basically like a character from The Little Mermaid, just like an underwater like Squid Rock, is just like okay. But then, you know, some of these are really good.
Yeah.
Like, some of them are dope. And then there's just other ones that is just like Bob Marley's just Charles Darwin's just a block of clay.
Yeah.
Like, there's no form or anything to his face.
God, it's funny.
Went home? Which one of these lost? I need to know.
It was
the flavors of Jamaica.
Yeah.
That's bad too. To Miss Lou. Yeah. Okay. Did they at least taste good?
I don't think the Miss Lou one did, actually, because that woman had some real issues with her flavors. She made a Battenberg for the first challenge, and one part of the Battenberg was cream soda, and the other was like cotton candy or something just truly disgusting. Mm.
It does look a bit.
It was bubblegum sponge, cream soda sponge, and blue almond marzipan.
Yeah. Well, let's look at how disappointed.
Yeah, by the way, if you want to look what follows along, just Google. We're looking at a link on cosmopolitan.com for the article that is called Every Bust from the GBBO Celebrity Cake Bust Showstopper Challenge. Emphasis on busts.
Can we just take a look at how disappointed Ziggy looks? I mean, the cake itself looks very disappointed. It looks like it's not happy to be here. Woo! Yep, that's interesting. That's a choice. I was like, there's no gimmicks.
Tell me this isn't a perfect show, okay? Like, this is the best thing on television today.
Mm-hmm. It looks so sad. So sad.
Yeah. I don't know who a lot of these people are. Is that, am I supposed to?
No.
Ziggy Stardust? No.
Tom DeLong?
Blink-182, you know him.
Okay. I don't think you can draw him.
No, he's a British Olympian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who else you got on there?
He looks like the guy from Toy Story 4 that rides the motorcycle.
I was going to say Forky. I didn't see him.
No. I can't remember that guy's name.
I'd say the closest we had to this one was
Bill Bryson. That Danny's dad?
I mean, Bill, I don't know if this looks like an actual, like the actual Bill Bryson, because I've never seen that person, but this does look like a cake that you would name Bill Bryson. Like, if I had to name this cake, I'm like, it might not be the Bill Bryson, but that is a Bill Bryson if I've ever seen one. Mm-hmm. He looks so disappointed. Yeah. I just don't know how your cakes can be happy. All these cakes look like, why did you drag me into this? Like, how did I get in the middle of this? I ain't even do nothing. That's exactly how this cake looks.
Duke Kaboom is who I'm talking about for Toy Story 4.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously.
He does kind of look like Evil Knievel here.
Who's Louis Theroux? Justin's father? Yeah.
What did I say? Did I say father or author?
I like Marie Antoinette because she said let them eat cake and then she is cake. So,
so
it looked good.
He sculpted, like, he brought like a plastic piece of Marie Antoinette's face and just like put fondant over it. So I wouldn't give him that much credit.
Okay.
But this guy did the most absurd things. He would have these elaborate plans and then just none of them would work out. And Paul Holly would always be like, gotta show us more than you say or whatever, something.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Okay.
God, this show is so don't perfect. Tell. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Show right. Stopper, don't tell. Right.
of course, that for the Pavlova, this is when we got the handshake from the Hollywood handshake for Chegg's.
If I'm being honest, I gasped. It was so beautiful, that Pavlova.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that was such a big deal, but just the moment it happened, you could feel it. Like, people were crying. Like, people were like clapping.
Oh, they like all cheered for him.
Yeah. I was like, man, this man's hands must be immaculate. Like, the moisturizer he must use. But now that I know it's a thing, I'm like, okay, sounds good. I appreciate that. He deserved that.
Yeah, and I love that nobody was like jealous or upset. They were all just so excited for him.
Mm-hmm. It felt like a lottery win. Like, it was one of those things where, like, I could hate, but honestly, this just changed your life. Like, the trajectory of your career is now different because of this moment.
Because you see, I mean, there is life after Bake Off in terms of publishing deals. I think, like, some people have gotten Netflix specials. I'm sure they may not have started on Netflix, but I know that they get cooking specials. So there is a career after Bake Off.
I have a lot of Bake Off cookbooks, and they are just absolutely fantastic.
Let's talk about the technical challenge this week. 4 sticky toffee puddings. Haley, what exactly is a sticky toffee pudding?
I'm not totally sure. I'm thinking it might be kind of like a pineapple upside down cake, except with just like, don't put the pineapple in. Like, that's kind of what it read to me as. I'm not a big toffee person, so this is not something I would tend to gravitate towards. They also had to make a creme anglaise and also a caramel. To varying degrees of success. The technical is always a bit of excuse my language shit show. There's always somebody who just absolutely blows it. I'm sure, Rob, you've noticed over the last 4 episodes you've watched that there's always one that's like clearly hot trash. It's because they don't know what they're making going into it, and the instructions are very vague.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, Chappelle, your girl Maggie, she's really going to bottom out here.
Okay, so she forgot the flour in a baking competition. I just think we should hear both sides. Because she said, okay, but there was like one line on a separate sheet of paper of her recipe. Like, you want to put the flour. Like, you hid the flour from Maggie. You know, you know her eyesight ain't the best.
They've probably been waiting for seasons for something like that to happen. Yeah. They did that on purpose. I know it.
They did. They're like, okay, make sure you put the most important part about this thing on the backside. Okay. And she's the only one who didn't flip it over. So I will say that hers was bad, but a lot of people failed this one. I mean, like, Jürgen was the only person who really, really just like handled this challenge the way I think he should have. Because everybody else was a feral disaster, as the judges said, in my opinion, personally.
Haley, so something happened when we got to the judging here. Paul passed on even tasting what Maggie put out there. How often does that happen where a judge won't even take a bite? I think, Chappelle, I think Gordon Ramsay did this with somebody that on that episode we watched on the rewind, that he wouldn't even taste what they put in front of him.
Well, it was raw.
Yeah, if it's not baked, if it's obviously not baked, they will not taste it. If there's been some sort of like accident in which they bled into it and didn't realize, then again they
How often does that happen?
Not very often. It's not like chopped. They don't often bleed into their food or anything.
But it has happened.
But sometimes, if it's just like a hot mush, Paul will be like, "This is 11 and I know that. Thank you. Goodbye."
Yeah, you see, if you watch Nailed It, you'll see many more instances there of things not being eaten because things are obviously raw. Here, it's like maybe once every few episodes. This was also the one where I was like, where they were pouring the caramel sauce onto the sticky toffee pudding and you're saying, "Oh, it's obviously undercooked." And like, it looked exactly like the caramel sauce I had just made. I was like, "Oh, that was what I did." So that's the problem I'm facing. It was undercooked.
I loved Amanda's,
caramel sauce
that was just like orange somehow, but like almost mine. Like a khaki color. It was like a khaki color of caramel. It was just like, no.
That was the one that looked like mine, Haley.
Oh no, Country Bear Hall.
It tasted
only
good.
The only thing I liked about this is that it ranked them from worst to best at the end, right? And so, but I like that because I was trying to figure out who my scapegoat was. Cause I was like, okay, Maggie's going home. Okay, who are the other contenders to go home? Amanda and George are right there. Theirs were equally bad. Sure, they use flour, but some would argue that raw and not caramelized enough is just as bad as flourless baked goods. And so I just started to think that maybe her gluten-free recipe wasn't getting the respect it deserved. Maybe Amanda and George should go home.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the blind judging?
I like that.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. Because, you know, like we were already saying that they hate like Freya. So, mm-hmm. I prefer her to give like the chance of like, okay, we're not just like targeting you. Cause I think in other shows, honestly, sometimes the judges do target people. Yeah. I'm sure there's no proof to that, but I know that like sometimes if you don't like somebody, it's really hard for you to like what they're trying to feed you, you know?
But I also feel that they're a little bit like, Jürgen, this is you, right? Giuseppe, this is you. Come on.
And like,
I got the old Giuseppe charm.
Yeah.
I'm sure sometimes, like when it's really bad, and they're just like, "Oh no!" Like you can kind of tell whose it actually is. But
That's what I was wondering. Is that I do wonder if when they cut when they're critiquing the bake, and then they cut to the face of the person whose it is. I always wonder if that's like B-roll of them just reacting to nothing. Because if not, the contestants sitting on the stools there do a really good job for the most part of keeping a very straight face when their dish is being ripped apart by Paul and Prue.
Except Maggie. She about had a breakdown. Yeah. She knew it was over. I was like, don't speak to her. Mm-hmm. As you can see, all my notes are about her. I really wanted her to pull this one out. They really established this underdog for me, and I'm so sad. So sad.
Kurt, do Prue and Paul Hollywood get sick of eating 12 bites of the same thing?
You don't really get that impression.
In the technical challenge, they'll have like a scene where they'll like they're sitting outside and they're like, "See, like this is like a perfect toffee."
Yeah, they were just really eating.
Like they really you think maybe they get sick.
Yeah, I think they've especially Paul has figured out some sort of system here. I'm glad that it sounds like they do have a couple down days between shots because I wonder if that's all that they eat that day is just okay, nothing but desserts today. Mm-hmm. So they must have kind of figured it out, and I'm hoping that Matt Lucas has figured it out for this season too. But it's obviously you'll see it's a small bite, and that's something I think we've always wondered, even like in podcasting about Top Chef, is that they sit down and they end up having like 12 main dishes, and obviously they're not necessarily eating the whole thing, but.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll hear people just want to say, "Actually, I'm going to go back and finish that one dish."
Yeah. Wow. I mean, they've addressed that on Top Chef too. You know, I've seen them make fun of, the way, Tom Colicchio like cuts things because he's like so surgical with his little knife and fork. And they're like, "It's because we got to share this one, like amuse-bouche amongst the nine of us. So I just got to get a little piece." And so maybe that's why, like, it's not so bad. Cause you're really just trying to get the flavor and the texture. You know, you're not really devouring all of these. So I was kind of shocked when I saw Prue and Paul Hollywood actually devouring behind the scenes. They were still eating. I'm like, okay, well, while they're doing that, I guess I'm going to tear this Pamelov or whatever it's called, Pamelova, up behind the scenes.
The third challenge in the episode then was the showstopper challenge. Haley, what was the dessert they were making here? What was the assignment?
The assignment was a jacquande imprimé dessert. So a jacquande is it's like an almond cake, I believe. Is that kind of what they wanted was a the design. Kind of sponge. Yeah, they wanted a sponge cake with a design on the outside filled with other things. So like mousses, jellies, jams. They wanted it like as a, it's like a trifle with a cake piece. Yeah.
I think the key part of it is it's like I think what the cake around the outside is the main part, and then it's got some sort of decoration design like laced into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that cake was whooping their ass. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's what took out Maggie. But I do think that like had they kept that part a little bit more simple, they could have focused on all the complicated stuff on the inside, because like Jürgen. He is writing sheet music on his cake.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, who amongst us has not done that?
What was the song? It was
Past Time with Good Company.
As Time with Good Company. It wasn't like his evil theme music.
Yeah, no, it was Past Time with Good Company. And to be fair, he could have literally just put any notes on there and said, this is Past Time with Good Company. Who was about to pull out there like, well, I am a practice musician,
Beethoven's
sir.
Fifth.
Like, how dare you?
I'm sorry, that is supposed to be a quarter note. I looked like I realized that.
Minor
this is Billy Ray Cyrus, Don't Bake My Tart.
Yeah, my flaky pastry tart or whatever it was. I just thought like, okay, you could have just like slapped down some eighth notes and quarter notes and called it a day. But he like legit was like, oh no, I'm going to be flashy here. Maybe that's why I wasn't rooting for him, because I was like, I saw my person going down and I was like, well, get your foot off her neck. She's already losing. You gotta be flashy.
This guy's writing sheet music where Maggie can't even draw one strawberry.
He said, can't even get a strawberry is good. You over here like, just playing a little music. Like, get out of here, Jürgen.
I have actually made it into a working music box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Like,
it will rotate.
It plays the song for you. And she's over there just like stuffing her third cake into the oven and praying. I don't know. Maybe I do hate somebody.
Yeah. And Maggie's design that she made on her cake was also like super basic. It was like strawberry shortcake.
I'm about to walk out of here.
Like,
do I love this show?
Strawberry.
I love this show. I haven't felt this strongly about a contestant in so long on a cooking show. That's why I stopped watching Top Chef, because so many of my favorites have been robbed. I'm about to walk out of here.
It was basic. Wasn't it supposed to be a Paris skyline initially, wasn't it? And then like when she had to redo it, it was like, I'm just going with strawberries.
She was going with strawberries.
Yeah, she said something about Paris, but the drawing from our buddy Tom
was just strawberries.
Was strawberries.
And like strawberries in Paris, duh.
Yeah, and this is when Paul is like, Maggie, what did you do with your time? And she's like, I made it twice, Paul. What do you want from me?
Mm-hmm. The cake wasn't cake enough. Damn.
I, as much as I like Chigs, I'm like, and this pattern was inspired by my sister's bathroom tile. Yeah,
he didn't need to shout out his sister's bathroom.
No.
Like maybe his sister was getting like 10% off if like Chigs could work in like a reference to the guy that did her bathroom.
To my contractor. I thought that was pretty impressive, because it was like, make a design. You're like, okay, they don't know what her bathroom looks like. I'm just going to throw something together real quick and call it a day while Giuseppe's over there composing music.
That wasn't Giuseppe.
You don't know that. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that was Jürgen.
That was Jürgen.
Jürgen and his damn sheet music. Yes. I'm still offended.
Giuseppe was copying a cake his dad already made for somebody's wedding.
Yeah, but it was a good idea. It's like, it means a lot to me. It's like, does it? I've never seen said cake. You could just be making this up.
I feel like Amanda tried to go very sexy with both of her desserts this week, the chocolate Pavlov and then Adam's temptation dessert. Ooh. It's like, girl.
Yeah, but she put like way too much alcohol in it.
She was just like,
so it's like, I got some temptation for you. Booze.
Prue
likes the booze.
Prue, girl, you know this for you.
I feel like Christelle also put a lot of rum in her. She's like, okay. It was basically like a Long Island with some cake around it.
Well, it's like pina colada.
It sounded delicious.
Una pina colada, por favor. I don't know.
Yeah.
As the name of the cake, I don't know where I'm going with that.
They love a pina colada flavored bake on this show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she went straight there. She was looking for it. What did Freya end up making with her fake egg whites?
It was something like a square.
Orange.
It was, It was the square because it doesn't bend. And then it was chocolate. It was orange. They didn't hate it. But I knew, again, you could tell they were like,
they hated the idea of it.
They didn't hate the cake. They just hate Freya, the poor 19-year-old young woman who's just trying her best.
And they don't always hate the young people. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it just tasted a little vegan for their taste. Like, does this taste vegan-y to you? It's a little vegan.
This could really be improved by some egg whites, honestly.
have you considered animal in your dessert? Like, it would be
You considered not using chickpeas in a dessert? That's something you've considered coming on Bake Off, on British Bake Off, on the great British... This is a mediocre British Bake.
So there was a difference. Some really exciting drama with this, where it's like they're running out of time and not everybody's cakes have hardened or become like gelatinous enough that it's gonna hold their shape. They have things in the freezer. There was a really great moment where Amanda opens her freezer, sees what's happening, slams the door shut.
Shuts the door?
It's like she saw Zool in there and was like, close it. Don't go. Nobody go in there. Nobody open this.
You know what? I'm sick. I have a cough. I think I have COVID. Can I just set out for quick?
She's like, that's not my cake running. That's my blood. So we can't eat it this week. I'm just going to need a pass. I actually got some of my blood in the cake because it did look like a crime scene because it was just oozing out. Amanda, I'm sorry. She was the scapegoat that I was looking for this episode. I was like, she's such a screw up. That Amanda sucks. But she seemed to be doing fine. She just doesn't have any clue how to make these particular dishes on this episode. Every time they went to her face, she was like, I don't know what the hell a pamola is. Like, she looked completely out of her depth in this episode.
And her cake ultimately tasted good. That was the other thing that saved it. That's what they said. It tastes delicious.
Not apple-y enough, right? Or was it?
Yeah, they were like, it doesn't taste like apple. And I was like Apple Jacks, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the Apple Jack of cake.
Yeah.
And but look at George. We could have thrown George in the bus. He had a big ass layer of peanuts. Just
they couldn't even cut through it.
He basically had like layered O. Henry bars in there, and he couldn't cut it through.
It's like you ever put like a Snickers in the freezer. It's like indestructible.
Or like trying to cut a Dairy Queen ice cream cake. That chocolate fudge layer. You have to like make sure your knife is hot and then like stab it into it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like. We at least you could cut. You can cut Maggie's. You can't even cut George's.
What's going Maggie's on here? You didn't need to cut. It was bleeding out.
It's self-cutting.
It flowed onto your plate.
This feels like an attack on my girl.
That was a sad moment when Maggie had to all right, Maggie, we need you to take your hand off the cake, and she moves her hand. She's like, it's done.
You have to step away from your bake.
It's done.
She's like, I can't do it.
Really?
Hands up. I can't. Why? I just can't. I can't explain why, but I can't take my hands off the cake right now. Like, Maggie, I'm going to need you to step away from the cake, put your stuff away, and go home. Poor Maggie. Sad. What the hell?
The second episode, Biscuit Week, or at the end, they had to make a cookie that was like a toy that you could play with.
Amanda's rocking horse. She's like, look, it's rocking. And then they're like, don't touch it. And she's like,
yeah.
But, and he just went bloop, 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 bloop.
But even Maggie's she grew up in the Depression. We didn't have toys.
We had a ball and a cup.
We had to go to the ocean. The ocean was our toy. And they're like,
she made the ocean as a cookie?
Yeah. No, she made like, yeah. They were like, this is not.
It was like a, it was like a diorama.
Yeah.
I played with books when I was a child. So this.
Well, that's actually what Jürgen did. He did make a book.
Windmill.
He made the windmill. Yeah. The book was the gravity-defying one. Yeah.
I'm sick of Jürgen. He's just.
He made the baby out of bread. That's what it was. It was a bread baby.
That's where he flopped.
Yeah. Yeah, he flopped on that one. He had a bad bread week. But
I'm watching this season just to root against Jürgen. I'm here.
Jürgen had a good moment where that when they were judging his cake, he was saying and there's also some pepper, and Paul Hollywood was like, yeah, I don't taste it. I don't taste pepper. And Jürgen's like, wait for it. Wait for it. And then it finally got him.
There it is.
And then he pulls out his damn trombone and just starts playing this song that he wrote. I hate him. Curses. He's so good.
I didn't pick up on it the first time I was watching it, but during the rewatch, the first episode, you know, spoiler alert, that Jürgen wins head Star Baker. And lots of times when someone wins Star Break Baker, they get the camera of them calling, like, on speakerphone their loved ones, and he calls, and it just keeps ringing. And he's like, no, I guess they're not home. Click. And that was the end of the episode.
That was just the end. Oh, it was magical.
Jürgen.
Okay. Oh, that Jürgen. Okay. I'm okay, Rob. I know I sound like I'm a hating ass bitch, but I
get just, it. You're upset. Yeah. You're upset.
I just feel like, dang, you won already. Damn. Like, we get it.
Look, Maggie may not be the Star Baker, but she has delivered many babies in this world, Chappelle.
Yeah, I was like, well, girl, I don't know.
I don't want you touching my cakes after that. Right. Like, I don't care how many times you wash your hands. It is not enough.
Right. Like, how many babies? After a while, you can't even get that off of you. It's like, yeah. Like, and then, like, Maggie, not to question your, like, occupation or whatever, but if you can't bake a cake, girl, I don't know if I need you delivering babies. Let's just slow down. Maybe not. You know,
I mean, in fairness, okay, as the only parent on the panel, I will say that I'm not sure necessarily, like, if baking a cake is the same as delivering the baby. I feel like that delivering the baby is really, you're just taking the cake out of the oven at that point.
Yeah. Like, well, good thing you didn't George need to know the recipe. The way he threw his pavlova, I wouldn't want him near a baby.
Yeah, you didn't need to know the recipe. And, like, everything's, you're just coming in for, like, you know, getting, like, taking this thing out.
Yeah, you've already figured out the recipe for the baby, obviously.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I'll give her some credit. Again, that's my girl. Maggie, come on, man. When is All Stars? When do we get Maggie's The Return of Maggie?
There's never been an All-Stars.
What?
How?
Never. That's not what they do.
The closest they have is you'll get some holiday specials where they sometimes will bring back like for like a 3-week run some people from previous seasons. But sometimes it's celebrities.
But it's usually not more than like one episode.
Yeah.
Is the holiday special then all like holiday themed recipes?
Yeah.
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 That's nice.
Bring back Maggie for the figgy pudding. Isn't that what British people eat?
Yeah.
Sticky figgy pudding.
Honestly, if you're looking for a good laugh, watch one of the celebrity bake-offs. Yeah, so they'll do like a stand-up to cancer celebrity bake-off, and they are just hilarious. Just so funny.
Yeah.
It's like Nailed It, basically, with people you may or may not have seen on British television.
So who have we had? What are our big name celebrities? Because I heard like
Terry Hatcher was on an episode.
Ooh, Terry Hatcher. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, she's huge.
I heard Professor X was on there with James McAvoy. Wasn't he on one episode?
Oh, yeah, he was. God, he's hot, too. Oh, my God. Yes, hey, lives.
Yeah.
What? Let me live. I can't even find it. I wonder
what else. Like, I feel like if you did the Great British Bake Off, but like the Great American Bake Off, like who was the celebrities that you could see in our in our version of this show?
Well, actually, the winner of the latest American Bake Off seasons is an RHAP fan.
Oh,
let's say hi to Tina. She's probably listening.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Tina. Thank you, Tina. Yes. Yeah, wow, you should have. Wow, we could have get an interview with Tina. Where are they now?
Mm-hmm.
Find out if she knows Maggie.
Is Maggie joined us on the Cameo?
Can I buy one for Chappelle?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, I would cry. I would legit cry.
Oh my god, would she know?
I'm looking it up now. What is her last name? Maggie Bake Off.
It's Morgan.
Higgledy Piggledy. I don't know. That's not her last name. It's just something she said. Higgledy Piggledy.
Used that word to describe like something that was like a big mess. She called it a higgledy
piggledy. Higgledy
piggledy. We should use that for like a Chappelle. That was not one of our best podcasts. Like, yeah,
higgledy piggledy.
Daisy Ridley did a celebrity bake off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's funny is the Wikipedia entry for this season. Maggie's one of the two people who does not, her last name is not listed.
Queen. She goes just by Maggie. Just Maggie, just and Maggie. I go by just Chappelle. I mean, this woman, her power, her impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I appreciated this episode, Rob. So once at the end, they just get like, you are the star of the week. Like, it's like gold star. To make a
vocal. Honestly, Chappelle, it ends like Kid Nation episodes where it's like,
No.
Hey, Dad, I got the gold star. Like, what?
Yeah, but those kids were getting like 50K. Like, I got a gold star. Oh, yeah, that's great. It's worth $10,000.
He got the gold star.
Shit. Yeah. Like, that's a call home, okay? You call home to be like, yeah, I got $10,000 this week and I'm 9 years old. But Chiggs winning the gold star and calling his family, I was like,
you're never gonna believe what I did. Remember my sis's bathroom?
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
it got the gold star approval from the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, you actually leave Bake Off with less money than you started with, because to do all the practices, like, they don't give you money to do the practice stuff. Like, they you know, give you money for, or they buy the ingredients on the day of, but like, they don't write you a check for the practice ones, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Chappelle, yeah. You'll be happy to know Maggie is on Instagram.
Yes! Deploy the follow. I'm about to tell her, you got robbed.
Maggie, slide
into those DMs.
Yeah, there you go. Maggie the Seaside Baker is her handle.
What'd she make, like a seaweed cake and something?
That sounds
I think that was last week.
Maybe it was the focaccia?
Yeah.
Maybe I should just wait on my Stan card real quick. Seaweed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She loves.
I'm gonna wait.
Yeah.
I was gonna deploy the DM, but now I'm like,
She didn't want to make it too salty because the seaweed is already too salty. But then Paul Hollywood said, "Not enough seaweed."
Her showstopper for Milk Week was things you'd find in a rock pool.
Mm-hmm.
What is a rock pool?
Like a pool, like where you would, like on Survivor, it's where you would go when the tide is out to get the crabs and stuff that washed into. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's all she does.
That ended up being the seascape one.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe if I'd watched the first three episodes, I wouldn't be a big Maggie stan. But right now, based on what I saw, is justice for Maggie. I'm sending it to you. Hopefully she'll come talk to us on the podcast. It'll be fun.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Great British baking show.
No, I'm just happy you all were here to explain it to me, because this was new.
Yeah, like, I just feel like if you are tuning to this podcast and you haven't seen it, stop what you're doing and watch the show, because it's just magical. Chappelle, I need you to watch the rest of the season. Rob, I need you to watch every single episode of Remain.
I got to keep going.
It's the best show, because it's the most comfortable thing. If I'm sad, like, I want to watch Bake Off, it just makes me happy, and it's the best show on television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to see Chappelle root against Jurgen all season.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be devastated when he wins, even though, like, it's clear that he looks like one of the front runners. But, I mean, it does give me something to do watching.
The thing with Bake Off is, if Jurgen's the best for 4 weeks in a row, and he really biffs it that fifth week, he's not staying. Like, they don't go based on merits from other weeks. It is, like, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, and I don't want to sound like I hate Jurgen. I just am hating on him. You know, like, I thought he was pleasant, and he did great, and I knew that he was doing well this episode. I just really just thought we could get like a buyback or something for Maggie. Can we get like a fight back in, or just like a
Redemption Island?
Redemption Island, or the kitchen thing that they did on Top Chef, you know, where we have her voting. Last chance, kitchen. Yeah. Can I go online and vote for her or something? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
We had a similar thing with the front runner last year, where he was a young up and coming ingenue when it came to baking. And there are a couple comments he made about
him.
he made some comments about like old people like in their 30s. And we were like, Haley and Emily and I were like, okay, we're done. Very talented.
Yeah.
Did he lose?
Probably the sweetest guy.
Did he lose?
I plead the fifth.
I need to go watch it so I can root against this guy.
You will have a lot of episodes you can root against him in that. Every single week, we'd be like, okay, this person's my new favorite. And then they'd go home. And we'd be like, okay, well, this person's my... They'd go home. It was tough. It was a tough season.
Not okay. Not old in our 30s. How dare he? I know he won. I can't. Stupid Jurgen. Jurgen number one.
Baby Jurgen.
All right. So, Chappelle, we have to figure out what we're going to do next week.
Yes. I mean, that's the fun of the show, right? We're kind of just letting Netflix tell us what's popular, what's hot, what's not, you know,
what's trending.
We do, and we've been hitting a couple of those, you know, definitely with Seinfeld was in the top 10 when we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Squid Game was in the top 10. And then, now this. And so this was number 10, I think, when we finally got the podcast to cover it. So
let me give you some highlights from the top 10 right now. Right. As of the recording time, Great British Baking Show is currently number 10.
As opposed to Great British Bake Off. Done Bake Off. Let's
do the covered Squid Game.
Show.
That's number two. But some other highlights from the top 10 include number one, you.
Me?
No, congrats, not Chappelle. Number one is you.
That's number six.
Yeah. Number one is you.
Oh, okay. But not me.
YOU is number one.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a good choice. It did drop last weekend. I hate watch that show, and I might have already hate binged it already. So I might be done with season three already.
Okay.
But we could talk about the first season, Rob. I know you're not familiar, but we could probably do like maybe talk about the first episode. Or do you want to jump into season three?
On you?
On me.
Yeah. I'm open to whatever. Kurt or Haley, do you have any recommendations?
Let me see. Or beyond.
Or trending.
Yeah, or beyond.
Let me look. I don't even remember.
Let me also highlight number eight, Going in Style. It is a movie starring Morgan Freeman and also some other older gentlemen like Michael Caine. It looks like we're old and we're going to rob a bank. Morgan Freeman is wearing a Mets hat. Michael Caine is wearing a Yankees hat.
Zach Braff was the director.
Although it's not, it's from 2017.
Interesting.
But it is in the Netflix top. It's new. It might be new to Netflix. But I would like the listeners to send us more movie suggestions, because I feel like that is definitely much more like manageable for the listeners and for the podcasters to cover a movie on this podcast, as opposed to like 10 episodes of a series.
Yeah, probably. And I do like Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman. So, you know, that wouldn't be a bad decision. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the listeners are thinking about what's hot. I have seen a lot of conversation about you, and maybe I just don't run in the same circles
that
are talking about
one
Going
contender.
In Style.
Yeah.
Number five on the top 10 in Canada today is Minions. That looks like a movie.
Minions? Why is that so hot?
I don't know.
Despicable Me? Despicable Me, the yellow people?
Yeah.
Yes.
Minions.
Hmm. Why is it getting a resurgence
in Canada?
Yeah, we don't get that here in the States.
I don't know.
And Despicable Me 2 is number 9. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
I would say if you're looking for a Halloween themed movie, I just recently watched, there's an Italian movie called A Classic Horror Story on
Netflix. Is Giuseppe in it?
I don't believe so. No. Hmm. Which was really good. And then actually I'd say if people enjoyed this, maybe just more what Kurt's watching and maybe not for the Nothing But Netflix, but if you like Squid Game, I highly recommend Alice in Borderland, the Japanese series that I actually liked better than Squid Game, but it shares a lot of DNA with it.
So I feel like I've heard that Alice in Borderland. And then I also feel like there's another one like Money Game. And like
Money Heist,
right? And did Squid Game rip off one of those?
I don't think Squid Game ripped off anything, because I think that's been in development since 2008, technically. Yeah. So if anything, they might have. Money Heist is more of like a classic heist of a Spanish bank of story. But Alice in Borderland's a little bit more of a sci-fi horror. But it has some similar DNA to like Games and Death, if you want to see where it overlaps with Squid Game.
Got it.
But really liked it.
Okay. So you is the number one contender right now. We will see if we can be convinced otherwise here during the week. If you have a case to make, at Chappelle's_show on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sesternino on Twitter. And let us know what you're thinking.
Well, also, Rob, I think we're going to launch the Twitter page. You know, I've known
you've got a Twitter page. What is, do you have a Twitter handle?
Yeah, I think I have that all set up. I had to call my people because I was like, I don't want to be the one to create the Twitter page. But I did have to, I did know, like calling some favors, So I think
you have like
we
a social media intern.
I know people. I know people who do things.
It
you
makes
know,
sense.
So.
I mean, that like for the amount of tweets that you have going out, like it's unimaginable that you're awake that whole time.
All my tweets are my own. Thank you, Rob. Mm-hmm. But I was looking for somebody who could manage our social media for the Nothing But Netflix Twitter account. And so I think we have that going live. Let me see if it's already
what
up.
What kinds of things will the Twitter account be tweeting?
They're going to take all these suggestions. Oh, don't tweet me. Okay. Don't tweet me. Tweet the Twitter account.
You can put me on the tweet. I like to see the suggestions.
Yeah, put Rob on the tweet. I mean, put me on the tweet, but don't think like I got a direct line.
Because
to
I feel like that if tweet I don't hear anything, I guess people don't like this podcast.
We'll continue covering the Great British Bake Off, if that's the case.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's called Nothing But RHAP. That's the Twitter account.
Nothing But RHAP. Okay.
But RHAP.
But it only talks about Nothing But Netflix.
Yeah, but if you go to the Twitter account, you'll see that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think Nothing But Netflix handle is too long. Okay. You can't really, it doesn't, I mean, you have to find a fancy abbreviation for the word nothing. But,
not about Netflix?
Yeah, not about Netflix. But Nothing But Netflix is too long, so Nothing But RHAP is what it stands today. And so it's live. Tell people to go follow it.
Okay, go check it out. All right.
Yeah.
Kurt, anything interesting you have coming up?
No, not really.
You'd just be baking.
Yeah, if I get back to that, just follow me at Kurt Clark with
two
C's.
Yeah, if you love food, check out Kurt's Instagram.
I'm either baking or trying to get out of a locked room. So those are kind of the two themes in my social media.
Those things can overlap. Yeah.
Is there an overlap?
I've never done a baking-themed escape room.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to open the doors very quickly in my apartment due to excessive smoke from my oven, though. So that's the closest I have to the other way.
Yeah. All right, well, Kurt, pleasure having you back to talk about the Great British Baking Show. And then, Haley, I know that we have another podcast date later this week when you're going to be talking the Survivor Feedback Show with us this weekend on RHAP. But I know it's a big week in the world of The Bachelor.
Big week, big week. The second season of The Bachelorette of 2021 is coming up. This Tuesday it starts. I can't believe it. It feels like I have been covering The Bachelor for 5 years this year.
Yeah.
Like it has been endless. Just truly nonstop with The Bachelor content.
Bigger than ever.
I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. I have a great time doing it. It's just a lot for me emotionally. But I'm really excited to talk to you about Survivor later this week. I just assumed I was doing the patron Q&A this week instead of the actual feedback show because now the feedback show is for big people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an honor that I get invited back season after season. So what a thrill.
All right. So we'll be talking later on this week. Make sure you subscribe to the Bachelor podcast. We have a brand new link for you to go to. Go to robiswebsite.com/bachelorfeed.
Amazing. Even if you don't watch The Bachelor, I would suggest subscribing to the podcast.
Subscribe
anyway.
On your friend's phone.
Yeah. That's what I do. That's,
or if you go
Ethan's
into the
phone.
Apple store, subscribe on all the phones in there. Yeah. If you like
that's
Haley.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Just if you like me, or even if you please don't say you don't like me. I can't handle that. Just
if
you
don't
like
Haley,
me,
keep it to yourself. That's your problem.
Yeah, that's I can't take that on. Not right now.
Mm-hmm. And of course,
we love you, Ellie.
Chappelle, we want to remind everybody to subscribe to the Nothing But Netflix dedicated feed. Go to robiswebsite.com/Netflix feed as well. Chappelle, what podcasting adventures do you have this week?
Okay. I am still covering The Walking Dead on postshowrecaps.com. And so Jessica Lees, AJ Mass, myself, and Josh Wiggler should be talking about the premiere of Fear the Walking Dead, this new season, and The Walking Dead World Beyond, because The Walking Dead proper has just ended. So like Haley, 5 years straight of podcasting about The Walking Dead, almost around
this
the clock,
year.
Nonstop, every day. Just this year.
Yeah.
Just
5 years, year. This, like, and not five, like, oh, I've been doing it for 5 years. No, like, in 2021, it's been 5 years of The Bachelor.
Yeah. Like, and congratulations. Happy anniversary to us. 5 years we made it. So, yeah.
It's
so, of
only
course,
October.
Right. Exactly. Like, we still have time to do more. But, yeah. So, we're doing The Walking Dead over there. So, that's always fun. Check that out. Of course, I'm on Silent Podcast covering Never Have I Ever with Sasha Joseph. And we just started season two. I think the first episode's already out. And the second episode's coming up soon. And then, Saturday, I have a really big thing coming up Saturday. So Maggie Morgan invited me to participate in like a Big Brother online something type of game. Yeah. I've never done one of these things before, but it's inspired to raise money for Molly's cancer treatments. Her amazing person named Molly, who will be like benefiting from the money that's raised from that. And so we're going to play a crazy game of Big Brother online. And I think they're going to Twitch stream it or whatever. I don't know. I've never done this before, but I'm doing it. And I'm excited, and hopefully we can bring in some money for this amazing person. And then finally, I have something else on Post Show Recaps that's coming up. I don't think I can talk about it yet. So be on the lookout for that. Subscribe to postshowrecaps.com and Post Show Recaps on Apple so you can see my new secret project that we're working on.
All right. Great stuff all around. We'll see what we're going to have coming up next week. We've got all the Survivor coming up on RHAP this week that it's not on Netflix, but we talked about Leprechaun 4 on Robin Akiva, the podcast. Leprechaun 4, colon, in space.
I haven't listened to that yet. Yeah. How did it go? What was the overall
we do not condone the behavior of the leprechaun, and boy, he was really up to his usual misbehaving deeds, and I don't know if I recommend the film.
Oh, okay. Well, Leprechaun 5 is Leprechaun in the Hood. Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
You know if you need me.
Next October.
You know how to reach me, okay. Rob. Call me.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back next time. Have a good one. Bye.